I want to welcome you all, and I declare this meeting officially open. We're running out of time. We're running late. Because we're still busy with the IT people. They were busy trying to connect honorable members that are on visual. And we're checking all the systems if they are working or not working. So we take it that all honorable members that are on visual, you can hear me. Honorable members, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all. You are audible, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makau. Honorable members, this meeting of today is supposed to be a physical meeting. And next time, honorable members, when we say it's physical, we're not going to accommodate you on visual. There are visual meetings and there are physical meetings that we're going to have. In fact, I've seen in one of the statements from the speaker that other political parties were saying parliament should be physical. And you know the reasons that made us to be working on hybrid the way we're working, that it was due to unforeseen circumstances. But now it seems like even when honorable members are supposed to come and work, attend meeting physical, it's like members, they no longer want to come physical. So we are going to, we're accommodating you today.
Recording in progress.
Because there are problems of flights, and other members have missed their flights. And I think other members were having reasons that are reasonable for them to be accommodated to attend this meeting visual. But I'm sure moving forward, we're not going to entertain you, honorable members. All those meetings that we said they are going to be physical, they are going to be physical. So if you're not here physically, don't make it our problem. And then we have apologies. The apology of Honorable Pipti that he has missed his flight. We got it from our coordinator. And I think I'm declaring this meeting officially open. I think the IT guys will be nearer, they won't be far, so that they can be able to assist us where we are having glitches with the system. Can we take apologies, honorable members? Neliswa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members and my colleagues. I have received four apologies. One is from Honorable Piri, who is writing exams today. The second one is from Honorable Chongo, who has attended the PC on social development. And we have the third one is from Honorable Masipo, who has the other youth event in KZN, and also Honorable Shari. She also has another youth event. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Enelisa, for the apologies. And another thing that I need to make it clear to the honorable members is that all parties must be represented, and they are expected because we are a panel now. So in a panel, when you are not present, you must know that your party is not represented. We are not going to call honorable members why there's no member from whether ANC or DA or EFF or INGATA or ATM, we're not going to call you honorable members. You have a responsibility as you are deployed by your political parties and as you have taken an oath that you'll be here, you'll serve the people of South Africa. So we're not going to call you. All what we are going to do from our side with the staff, we are going to send you all the invitations for the meetings. And that's it. If you are saying the meeting is starting at what time and you are not there, we will continue for as long as we form a quorum. And then you'll have to explain yourselves to your political parties on why were you not part of the meeting. So I thought that let me highlight that so that at least at the end of the day, you must not blame us, your parties must not blame us tomorrow that you were not part of the meeting. It was only members of the ANC or it was there was only a member of INGATA or so forth. We are going to send you invitations. If you're not part of the meeting, it's not our baby to nurse. It's your responsibility. So we are a panel. And if you know, you understand what is a panel. A panel has got a responsibility to take forward that project that you are dealing with. So that's why it's important that all of you are always present in these meetings. I think with those few words, I welcome you all. Hopefully we are going to work as a team because there are things that you will have to keep to yourselves. And the information that you are working with, honorable members, whatever information that we are sending to you, we are sending to you. We're not sending it to any other person. It's sent to yourselves. So if professionally, process is not challenged by any other person. And whatever we're going to as per the rules of parliament meetings will be televised. By our parliament communication is on YouTube. They can YouTube. Oh, okay. So they are going all the time when we see it. So we are going to send out a communique or announcements that when our meeting going to sit. The purpose of this panel, the committee of this meeting is to fill in vacant positions of the CGE. There are two vacant positions which are part-time, for part-time commissioners. They are vacant due to the resignation of Commissioner Tlaleng and Commissioner Smout. Yeah? Commissioner Smout. And then those are positions that are vacant currently with CGE. So, and those two positions will be filled with immediate effect after we've presented our report to the House, and then the report is sent to the president for the president to appoint the two commissioners. Furthermore, we are going to also we are going to advertise 4 vacancies, which are now not vacant. They are not vacant, but the term of office of the commissioners, of the 4 commissioners, will be expiring at the end of October. But due to the workload that we have, by the time we finish with these 2 vacancies, then we'll be expected to start another process of filling in of those 4 vacancies. So we have taken a decision as the portfolio committee that we are going to also advertise those vacancies. And thereafter, by the time those vacancies, they become vacant, those positions become vacant, then we would have finalized the process, and there will be names that have been recommended and adopted by Parliament, which will be sent to the President, and for the President to appoint the 4 commissioners. So there won't be any gap with CGE. It will be make life easy for CGE, so that there's no gap, there's continuation of service. So we have informed CGE. On Tuesday, we had a meeting as the portfolio committee with CGE, and we have informed the commissioners that this is how we are going to deal with the vacancies. We also informed commissioners that if they still have interest, they can also apply for those positions. But commissioners that are that qualifies to apply is commissioners who have served only 1 term. Those that have served 2 terms, they don't qualify to apply. But those that have served 1 term, then they qualify to apply. It's according to the Act, CGE Act. It's not something that the committee has proposed or what. It's according to the CGE Act. So each and everything that you are going to do, it will be according to CGE Act. So what we have done today, we have sent the CGE Act to all honorable members. All documentation that you are going to present today, we have just sent to all honorable members. If honorable members have not seen it, please check your emails. You will see that all those documents that you are going to deal with today, they've been sent to yourselves. We have also invited our legal team from Parliament. I can see that Mr. Zweni is here. We know that Dr. Zweni is part of our meeting. So all issues that pertains to legal issues, Mr. Zweni will be our advisor as the committee, because we can't deal with this process without any legal person being present in our meeting. I think, honorable members, how the committee is constituted, it's 6 ANC, 2 members of the DA, and 1 member from the EFF, and 1 member from INCATA, and 1 member from ATM. So all in all, we are 11. So we have constituted our committee according to the rules of Parliament on how committees are constituted. And then moving forward, honorable members, if there's any clarity seeking question, before I move. So there's no hand, it means honorable members are clear with all the processes that we are going to follow. Ms. Landu will be responsible for communication and for all media houses who wants to be part of our meetings. Ms. Landu will be responsible for that. Thank you very much, honorable members. I thought that what I was presenting was important before we start with our agenda. Can I get Neliswa or Kashifa so that they can take us through on the documents that you are going to present today? Neliswa or Kashifa? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with
so I'm going to switch off my mic. Okay. Okay, according to our agenda, we are done with item number one, we are done with item number two, we are now in item number three. Item number three says, consideration and adoption of the draft committee program on the filling of vacancies in the Commission for Gender Equality. So here is the program. Neliswa will be presenting the program. Over to you, Nelly.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Neliswa. I thought that as you present the program, you are going to explain also the process, Kashifa, on why the dates are like this, so that you take members through. They must know what processes needs to be followed when you are dealing with a filling in of vacancies. So can you please, Kashifa, take the members through on and explain the process?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members and colleagues. As Chair's indicated, so with regards to the advert, there's this internal process in terms of supply chain that happens. So Nelitwa and Tumbenja from our support staff is responsible for sourcing those relevant quotes. And then in terms of print, where the advert would be placed. I think procedurally and technically, it requires 3 weeks for the advert to be out. So that's why we counted in terms of days from the 26th to the 18th of July. And that's to ensure that we cover ourselves in terms of public participation. Then from the 18th of July until just before members arrive back from your constituency, in terms of the support staff, we'll be collating the resumes in a format that members will be able to go through in preparation for your shortlisting, which will happen on the 16th and 17th of August. So by the 14th of August, which is the Friday before, or by the 15th, members, with Chairperson's permission, we've given indication as to when you can receive the documentation to be able to go through. And again, depending on how much resumes or applicants we receive, we can't say at this stage how many that would be. I think from past experiences, Chairperson, it was 87, just under 90. So it was around 87, 85 for both rounds prior to this in terms of filling of vacancies. And then in terms of the shortlisting, once members decide, depending, remember, as Chairperson said, two part-time that has to be done immediately, and then four post-October. So technically we're looking at six. So members would need to decide how many you want to shortlist. So depending on the number you want to shortlist to interview, those are the resumes that would go to HR to look at with input. Verification of the qualifications. HR checks to see whether when you set checks, and then SAPS screening, that's done by SAPS for learn from past experience a number and the committee would decide. So civil society comments and short on the shorts listed candidates. And in that regard to the recent members would decide 80, and that gives civil society an Miss X, whether they feel Miss X is just understand the person's support in terms of that particular position. With regards to the interviews, again, it depends on the amount of applicants we receive. We set aside 3 days. Because we're thinking if it's 2 days to try and do too many interviews within 1 day, it impacts on your time. And also thinking of traveling if people are coming in from various provinces. And given that members know your flights are limited now, we need to take that into consideration as well as for the support staff when they plan. And then around the deliberation, we've ensured that once you finish your interviews, immediately after that, the following day, you deliberate so that we don't have too much time in between. You finish all your interviews, you deliberate, and then decide actually we've now given that we've looked at people's resumes, we've looked at the public commentary as well as the interview itself, we can now decide these are the amount of names that would be put forward in the report. And then it gives us a week until the following Friday. Members would receive the report just prior to that, but on that Friday, members would then go through the report and adopt and agree to it. It's sent to us. And I think we've seen period starts on the 26th relation around the program itself. But maybe Nelisa can go through the advocacy chain's permission that would be required when people request to be nominated or apply. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kashifa. I think, Tony, I'm feeling, if you can share the meeting for the time being, something not right.
Okay. All right, committee members, been presented the process by Ukashifa. Can we talk to it or any questions or clarity seeking questions? Okay, Honorable Sonia.
Thank you. Much acting chair. I think the question that I have, we spoke about the moment we are done, we'll then end the deliberation. Will be how long, how much time has been given. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Son. Any other heads?
Thank you, actually. That's I want to understand maybe if you are saying on Monday, because the venue is saying, oh, if you are taking next week. Maybe are we trying to say all the week, next week, we are going to be around in Cape Town so that it can be. Okay.
I'm not sure if you were able to follow the first question by Honorable Shonyan. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Shonyana, we've, if you look at the program, we're proposing to have a one day, 16th, for the whole day, the 16th of September, to deliberate on the candidate. But also that one will also depend on the number of the CVs that we have shortlisted and interviewed. So in terms of the program, it's only the 16th of September, immediately after the interviews. Remember, we're proposing 13, 14, and 15 September for interviews. And then the 16th of September, it will be deliberations on candidates. That's when then you will decide who will serve on who are you recommending to serve as commissioners in the Commission for Gender Equality. And then that information will be incorporated in the report that we as support staff are going to draft for adoption. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I don't see any other hands or if there's other inputs, maybe.
If I understand Honorable Masondo, she wanted to know if the following week after today's meeting, members are going to be here. No members, that week until the 24th, it will be the support staff only who will be working, not members. There will be no meeting. The meeting that will take place after this one will be on the 16th and 17th of August when Parliament resumes again. Yes. Thank you.
I see there's a follow-up, Honorable Sonia.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. So that we clear, there is not any other meeting of the committee or just not any meeting with this program. Are we going to have other meetings for the committee or we're just going to be dealing with this program, not any other meetings?
No, there will be a committee meeting next week for the committee work besides this program. Next week on Tuesday the 8th, we are going to meet with the NYGA on their fourth quarterly report, and then the ARC Audit and Risk Committee. But then they will give the committee the second and the fourth quarter report because they never presented when they were called. I think there was a problem during that time. I just don't remember the date now. But they will present the second, third, and fourth quarterly reports. And then the NYDA will only present the fourth quarterly report. Thank you, Chair.
All right, honorable members, those were the clarity that I think members are satisfied in terms of what the responses they got. At this point, I'm thinking maybe we need to wait for the chair or break me an IFT. Or can we proceed if member? Honorable Masondo?
Chair, I think because Chair just given you the powers, let's continue. If maybe we see there's a problem somewhere, then we can adjust to that.
All right, Honorable Masondo. Then let's continue, comrades, to the next point. Honorable members, I will allow Uneliswa to take us through to the next point.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to check for members if we'll continue with adopting the program and then go to the advert. Or just need to clear. Thank you.
Yeah, I think before Chairperson left, it was the program was read to us. I think it's proper that we have a mover and a seconder so that we know that we won't be having changes or additions as we go along. A mover and a seconder of the proposed program. Honorable Masondo and also noted Honorable Sonia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I propose that we adopt the program as presented to us.
Thanks, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Sonia.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. I second the program as adopted to us.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I think also, Neliswa must also indicate from the virtual members, if there are those who are on the virtual platform, if they've got any questions or something to ask, so that we don't leave them behind.
Yes.
Hello, Chairperson.
Honorable Mahawu, I'm not sure if.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Everything is clear thus far. I'm fine. Everything is clear thus far, yes. I'm seconding the adoption of the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. So the program has been adopted so far. Thank you. The next point, Neliswa, can you take us to?
This is the advert on honorable members. It's a draft advert to be it calls for nominations and applications for individuals to serve as commissioners to the Commission for Persons with Disabilities, invites members of the public and organizations to nominate suitable candidates for appointment to serve in the Commission for Gender Equality as commissioners mandated by the Commission for Gender Equality Act 2013. All applicants will be required to fill a Google form on the parliamentary website or via WhatsApp as follows. What we have done in this part is we have requested, but I'm sure Kashi will explain it further. That's all the applications. In fact, it's going to be a form which will be explained further by Kashifa. They must, when, you know, in the ad will include the link, the Google link, where people will just click on that link and then they can fill in the form and then submit it via the Google link. Or if they don't have it, we'll have a dedicated WhatsApp number so that they can request it via that number, and then we can send that link via the Google. And the reason why is to ensure that we kept it explained. A list of shortlisted candidates and their resumes will be published on the parliamentary website to allow members of the public to comment on the suitability of candidates. All applications will be in line with the Protection of Personal Information Act number 4 of 2013 and Employment Equity Act number 55 of 1998. The commission has, in terms of section 187 of the Constitution of the Republic of the South Africa, 1996, a mandate to promote and respect for gender and attainment of gender equality. It has powers and functions as regulated by national legislation to monitor, investigate, research, educate, lobby, advise, and report on issues, concerns. Will, on recommendation of Parliament, appoint a member to the Commission for a term of office not exceeding 5 years. The members of the Commission may be appointed as full-time or part-time. Any person whose term of office as a member of the Commission is expired may be reappointed for one additional term. The candidates must be South African citizens who are fit and proper persons for appointment to the Commission and are broadly representative of South African community, have a record of commitment to the promotion of gender equality, and have applicable knowledge of and experience in matters connected with the objects of the commission. Nominations must contain the full name, address, email address, and contact details of the person or organization making nomination, a signed acceptance of the nomination by nominee. Yeah, I'll take that since including nominee. Apologies for that, members. Closing date for application is midnight, 18 July. Enquiries to Ms. Nelisha Lobatana, Committee Secretary, cell 083-709-8472. And email, we have also requested ask for IT to give us a dedicated email address so that, you know, all other information specifically for the filling of vacancies will go there. It will be CGE nominations at parliament.gov.za. Also, you'll notice that I said in brackets for nomination also. That also, we're trying to avoid people sending their application forms via this. We want everybody to to submit via the link, the Google Drive link. What's going to happen in this, we'll also ask IT to assist us in terms of creating a standard email address that will maybe indicate that we will thank you for your nomination, but please request or ask the individual that you nominate to fill in, you know, the form, and we'll send them the link via this dedicated email address. Yeah, it's issued by Ms. CN Ndama, MP, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Nelisa, for that presentation on the requirements or the draft that is presented to us. I don't know, you were mentioning earlier that some of the things Kashifa will highlight, but maybe before I allow Kashifa, I think I like that idea of the Google Drive where members will submit so that they don't go to personal addresses of staff members, and also the one that is there on the bottom that goes directly to nominations and so on. So I believe that when we look for the processes, we know where to get everything at one. It's a kind of a station where we will get all these things. So I think that is a very good idea that you initiated there as the office, the committee staff. And I think we appreciate that as well. And let me allow Kashifa.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. So as the Acting Chairperson's indicated, the idea was learning from past experiences around nominations and the volume of applications we receive. We needed to look at one way to ensure that all the information is in one place, that the information we receive is accurate, and how we know that the information is accurate, either the applicant submits, would be considered to be a true reflection of what we've requested. What I can ask if Nessa just gives me sharing rights, I'll give members an idea of what the application form will look like. I think members may have been familiar, and Parliament, you may have been requested by ICT when it came to your cell phone. Something was sent to your phone by WhatsApp to say, please fill in your details and what kind of phone you'd require. So that is the intention behind this Google form link. It's the same process. And the link can also be sent via WhatsApp. So in other words, once members agree to the application form and you get the link, you can get the link on your phone via WhatsApp, and then you can forward it to who you may feel requires that. And then that person opens the WhatsApp, opens the link, and then populates the necessary information. Maybe so if you can just give me, you want to close it. So members, up on the screen is what the application form looks like. In the past, we had requested in the two previous rounds of filling of vacancies, applicants would be required to have sent in a CV and to fill out a questionnaire. And in order for us to streamline processes, we thought we could combine that effort. ICT will assist us in developing that section 118 of the Constitution and section 3 as a commissioner to the Commission for Gender Education form. We can ask the legal advice from OISD to provide members any other questions you may have, cover that the CGE Act says, but to assist the committee in its processes, all those who have applied will be nominated for appointment as a commissioner. Um,
for the Commission for Gender Equality in July. So in other words, whether, as Nelly Swiss said, so whether you've been nominated somebody, in that email for where you've sent the nomination, you'll get an automated response that says, thank you for your nomination. Still completes this application form. Applicant opens the application form too. So all the ones in asterisks is things that are required. In other words, you absolutely have to fill that in. Members can give commentary now and say, well, is there anything in addition in this form which you think we should include? We're welcome to do that. So the first 10 seconds covers surname, full names, date of birth. Drop down basically means, as opposed to the applicant having to physically fill in all the numbers, ICT will assist us to automate that. Identity number, again, that would be required as along with your uploading a copy of your ID. I think from OISD, here again, they can just provide commentary and importance about why the ID is required in terms of South African citizenship. In terms of residential address, based again on past experience, members would want to know in terms of applicants, from which provinces they're coming. Contact number, email address, gender. I think maybe we can get some commentary from members as to what else you think we should be outlining in terms of gender, university, for example, or job applications now request for preferred pronoun, like whether it's he, she, or they, but whether you want to keep it as only gender and the applicant completes. Race, again, from past members would want to know from the disability. We've included it for the committee. It forms part of our mandate. Committee, the ad hoc committee that insisted that in terms of commissioners, there needs to be representation in terms of disability. And again, that when you complete this application form, the onus lies on the applicant to indicate whether whether you have a disability or not. So by the time members would receive a summary, you'd have an idea of the however many applicants, who is disabled and who's not. In terms of section 2, education, here again, we're requesting particulars of your formal education. Again, I think OISD Legal needs to just explain to members the issue around education and in terms of what is required, because there's nothing specific in the Act that says you need a tertiary qualification, and hence we've left it as formal. So people can indicate what their educational background is. In terms of work experience, again, members would need to decide in terms of how far back you want to go. We've learned from the NYDA process that often people would provide a job experience that exceeds 10, 5, 20 jobs. And what is more relevant for you as a committee? What would you prefer? Would it be everything since you've matriculated, or the last 10 years, or the last 10 or 5 jobs? In terms of number 14, please provide details of any other work, advocacy, or academic experience related to human rights and or gender equality that you may feel may be relevant. In terms of 2000 character count, that just gives an indication where the applicant can type in anything else over and above their work experience. For example, why did we add in 14? I may be an attorney, that's my full-time job, but I may be involved in gender activist work on a weekend or after hours. So I still want that to be captured, but where can I capture that? And hence that's number 14. Number 15 gives you language proficiency, where we will insert all the relevant official languages for applicants to choose and then rate themselves in terms of their ability to speak, read, and write. For section 4, it's motivation. Please explain why you believe you should be considered to serve as a commissioner in the Commission for Gender Equality. And again, this was previously in our questionnaire. This is one option. Members can choose to elaborate or say maybe you want to expand on the question, or you feel that this is sufficient. Again, this just gives members an insight into your applicant. So over and above the education and work experience, through number 15, the applicant would be able to motivate why they will see themselves as a commissioner. And again, that can be used as a stepping stone in the event that the person shortlisted to go back to number 15 and elaborate and ask more questions in your interview. Section 5 is general. Number 16, here we're requesting whether the applicant wants to serve as a part-time, full-time, or either full-time or part-time. 17, 18, 19, and 20, I think here the legal advisors are from OISD can just talk to members about the matter related to fit and proper when considering the appointment for a commissioner. Number 17, are there any circumstances, financial or otherwise, known to which you might cast doubt on your fitness to hold office as a commissioner? Yes, no. And if you say yes, it's to provide details. Number 18, have you been convicted of any offence involving dishonesty, violence, or any other disruptible and or dishonorable conduct? If yes, provide details. Number 19, any professional body ever found you guilty of any unprofessional, disgraceful conduct? And again, provide details if yes. And number 20, have you ever faced any investigation, disciplinary inquiry into account your current and previous places that numbers 17 to 20 are in place? One, the role of a commissioner, if members think back to our oversight of the CGE, and they're responsible for many matters relating to governance and finances. So this application form, once you fill in, provides the applicant with an opportunity, if there's something they are able to disclose and explain why. Because in the event that they are shortlisted, even when you do the SAP screening, there's no surprise as to in the event something does arise. It gives the applicant the opportunity to disclose. Are there any other relevant matters which concern your honesty, integrity, and reliability which you bring to the attention of the committee? And again, it's to elaborate if yes. Nomination, i.e. many times, and in the event that you are nominated, you'd upload your nomination letter. Number 23, declaration. This is for the applicant at the end. I hereby declare that the information provided is true and correct. I understand that any willful dishonesty or non-submission of required documents may render for disqualification of this application. In this instance, the documentation required would be your ID as well as proof of your qualifications. If this application is successful, I authorize Parliament of the Africa to keep this information file. Otherwise, all information will be destroyed within 3 months of the date of application. I authorize Parliament of South Africa to disclose in a confidential manner any information supplied in this application to the relevant parties, namely the human resource qualifications and screening in the event that I'm shortlisted. And I also understand that in the event I'm shortlisted, my resume, well, given that the POPI Act has come into play, it's important that we state this upfront. We have sent this out to our legal advisor, but as Chairperson's indicated, he's not available this week, only next week. But we do have legal advisors on the virtual platform now. And maybe to explain again the request from OISD to members, why we needed to include this, and also make reference to the POPI Act and the implications in the advert. Thank you, Chairperson and members. So this is just an application form. Again, the aim was to streamline the information, to ensure the information is in a safe and secure place, and that you as an applicant, the onus lies on you to provide accurate information and to upload all the documents. So one, you can access this on your laptop or PC, and fill in, or if it's sent to your phone, you can still open up the link and provide all the information. And even when it comes to uploading your copy of your ID, you can still take a picture and upload, and the same applies to your qualifications. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Kashifa, that for the presentation on the application form. I will open for members to make inputs, or if there's anything they need clarity on, the platform is open for members, including members on the virtual platform as well. If there's anything that you need to ask Kashifa on. I note Honorable Sonyani. Okay, Honorable Sonyani, and followed by Honorable Makau.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Okay, I have a couple of questions, maybe clarities as well. The Google link, I just want to know, when will it be up and running? Like the Google link, when will it be available? And then the second question is that the shortlisted candidates, we spoke about their CVs being put on parliamentary website. So my question then will be, if I'm not mistaken, you said it will be accessible to the public. If that's the case, what then happens to their confidential information, like an address of a person? Because in the end of the day, even if you are applying, I mean, your address is serious confidential and could be a risk factor to those people. So I want to know what happens to their confidential information, like the address. And then, again, the shortlisted candidate will be knowing that their information will be there. So I'm happy with that, as I've seen it there. And then the last question will be, there is an application form and a nomination form, right? So we saw the application form, but we did not see how the nomination form will look like. I just wanted to check if maybe do you have a sample of how a nomination form will look like? Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Sonyani. Honorable Mahau.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me thank the presentation from both of the officials. What I would like to know is more or less the same from the previous speaker about the public comments. How are we going to deal with the comments from the public? Sometimes they cannot be objective. I'm not trying to say that. How are we going to deal with that? And lastly, what I would like to know, the powers vested in the committee, that is the panelists, if they appoint a certain name, is that name final, or the president has got the power to change that name? If I may be clarified on that 2 points. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. Any other hands? I don't see any hands. Okay, also, maybe before I allow responses from Kashifa, under the nomination point 22 that talks to self-nomination, or the individual applying personally or being nominated by someone, is there a part where the relationship between the two is going to reflect? I'm not sure in terms of the form, like,
in terms of the relationship, will there be some way they declare
relationship to say, for my employer, for my colleague? I think that will also be important in terms of that appearing on the form, so that they don't keep it and be sure. I mean, it must, like the chairperson, when she opened the meeting, said the processes must be transparent. So we will also expect that from the applicants as well.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. In terms of when the link will be available, once members we then ask ICT to assist us. So they will create the form. They said it takes a day. We will do a test done for 2 days. So technically, the form will be done within a week.
but by the time the advert goes up, the link will be made available. And on the day the link is made available, that can be sent via WhatsApp as well. As on the 26th, it will be up and running and available. This Word document into once that's sure, what we usually do is we run it by a chairperson and to give an indication that this is what it looks like. She gives us the go ahead and then it gets placed into the ad. So definitely by the time the ad goes, the Google form link will be available. In terms of the public comment for shortlisted candidates, I think the legal advice is here on the it does not include the person's residential address, their email, their ID number, and cell phone number, as well as in terms of their referees or references, we definitely don't include those persons' details. And that's where between Tumbenja and Eliswa, they will make sure that all of that information does not appear for the public commentary. In terms of managing the issues around public commentary, from past experience, from our side, all we do is collate the information. It's for members to discern and see from the comments that they receive. And I think past experience, we often receive maybe under 20 to 50 commentary from people. And the comments can be two paragraphs, yes, I support this nomination, to a half a page of why they think this person's best suited. So in terms of the commentary, it's for the committee to discern based on the input they receive, whether it makes any difference. I think it's about facilitating public participation so that our process is open and transparent. In terms of the names, nomination forms, we don't have a nomination form per se. Again, from past experience, Nelisa has often received a two-liner that says, this organization hereby nominates this person to be a commission. Lengthy explanation as to this person served in the organization, why are they to be nominated with supporting documentation. So there's no standard format for it. So the public can literally say in Eliswa a two-liner, a paragraph, a document, a page. But we do request in the advert that in terms of issues of declaration, we want to know if you're nominating, you as a person nominating, indicate your name, your organization, and details about who you are and who are you are nominating. So that in terms of openness and transparency, the committee is aware of who's being nominated and who put forward that nomination. The last question, I think OISD can perhaps just elaborate with reference to the CGE Act. In terms of if members hypothetically choose 10 names to put forward to the president, who gets to decide? Is it the committee? Is it the president? Yes, the president has the final discretion. But I think I'll just hand over to OISD for them just to provide members from the legal perspective as to the issue of the final names for selection and then uptake by the president. Thank you.
Honorable Solyan, just a follow-up.
Yes, thank you very much, Acting Chair. On my follow-up question, right, with the CVs of the shortlisted candidates, will there be pictures of them? Or not? Just that, will there be a picture with the CV of that shortlisted candidate? That's the first question. And secondly, it's a comment, actually, Acting Chair. I just want to say, us as this committee, you know, we set standards to the rest of the country. So on the issue of gender, I think, or I propose that we must go with the standards of the LGBT LGBTQI plus community, where we are not specific of male, female. So I will also propose that our form has that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Slonyan. Kashif, I think there was the issue of the question that was raised by Honorable Mahau on the public comments. Did you respond to that one? Is it covered?
Yes, Chairperson. Okay. I did have comments, but just for Chairperson's information, the question was, how do the committee members deal with comments that may not be favorable for given the wide range of comments? So I said, in past experience, from support side, we only collate the information. And it's for members as the committee to decide, it's for information purposes, how you want to interpret the information you receive. And then just in terms of the shortlisting of the names, the president and decision, OIST Legal can just provide members with some more input in that regard. Thank you.
Can we allow from the virtual platform, Mr. Zweni? Mr. Zweni.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to all honorable members and colleagues. With me, Chair, I have my legal advisor, Ms. Pezi, who might want to add a few things to whatever I'm going to be saying. Starting with the last question, it is admissible and well recognized that the committee, if the, for example, in the present case, the intention is to fill 6 vacancies, 4 full-time and then 2 part-time, if I'm correct, that if the committee decides to recommend more than the 6 required number, they would do so in a chronological order to the president in case, for example, some of 1 or 2 from the people who have been preferred or candidates preferred declines at the end of the day, then instead of starting the whole process afresh, then the president might appoint the next person, which is the 7th or the 8th person. So it's allowed to make a recommendation to the president for appointment in a chronological order and in the order of preference as well. Just even to take the process further, if, for example, the position of a chairperson is amongst the vacancies that we are considering as the president would always say, Parliament had an opportunity to engage extensively with these candidates. It's therefore permissible for Parliament to say, we are recommending, for example, candidate number 1 for the position of chairperson, or candidate number 3 or so, because they are the ones who've been we have engaged or had an opportunity to engage the candidates in question, rather than for the president to just look at the paper or on the a list of names that have been submitted to him. And then again, on the question of, I think I supported the suggestion of gender consideration, wherein in the call for nominations / application, because I also want us to ensure that it's a call for nominations, and also applications from individuals are also welcome. So when we are drafting the advert, which I think we will take care of with the admin staff, when we write a call for nominations, we also don't forget that people who are not nominated who apply, on their own violation, they are also still welcome. So the word call for nomination must be used together with the word application. And then this issue, as I was saying, there's a general term used by the Act, proper and fit and proper person. I think that's where the committee has to outline exactly what do they regard as a fit and proper person for CGE specifically. Now, that's where you consider the issues of experience, the experience that is relevant to the expected functions or expected job requirements in terms of performing your mandate or delivering the mandate as part of CGE. That's where the committee, I think, is a clipboard, especially when it comes to this nomination form that has been read to us, where you specify exactly what are you looking at as a fit and a proper person to serve as a commissioner, as you or as a Berlin committee would know better what is expected of CGE in terms of discharging the mandate. So I think that's an opportunity for the committee to augment or tell us what to include in that nomination form, trying to source out exactly what are our expectations for a good commissioner to serve under CGE. And I think that also takes care of how do we deal with comments from the public that might not be relevant to us as parliament when we are looking at these issues. So that to me helps in terms of limiting and trying to source out information that we think we need to consider whether this person is indeed a proper and a fit person to serve as a commissioner of CGE in particular. So I think that allows that opportunity for the committee to outline or limit the general comments as one member was saying, that might not even be relevant for consideration. Also, the issues of integrity and the criminal record, those are all issues that you consider under this big word or phrase, fit and proper person. But this form, as I'm saying again, gives us an opportunity, members in particular, to tell us what is it that must be sourced out from the members of the public and from the applicant. The other issue is that of diversity and demographics. There's a requirement that when we appoint or when a parliament appoints or nominate candidates or members of the commission, they must look at the issue of diversity and demographics. So it is also important, therefore, to say, where is this candidate coming from which province? How is the composition as we speak of CGE? Is it diverse? Does it also represent South Africa as a country? And also, where are these people coming from in terms of provinces or the geographical demographics of the country? So those are the issues that I think we must not forget when we are designing this kind of form that will help the committee, make the job of the committee easier to comply with what the Act has prescribed in broader terms, though. I think I will end there, Chair. And maybe if my colleague wants to add something, he may also come in through you, Chair.
No, thank you, Dr. Zweni. We can allow your colleague to come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to pick up on what Mr. Zweni was saying and some of the questions that we had from some of the members, there were questions relating from, I think it was Member Mahao, when you were speaking in broad terms about the requirements for appointment. Section 3 of the Act speaks to the requirements for appointment as a member within CGE. And in terms of the specific question she asked was whether or not there was discretion from the president. The president must appoint names that are recommended by the committee and then adopted by the National Assembly. So Section 3 sets out the process that must be followed by the committee. Also, Mrs. Zweni has spoken about the fit and proper person and what needs to go into that. the redaction, I think a member was asking about what is going to happen with what the act, because what is of particular importance in with the proposed application form is that the POPI Act comes into consideration. So the act which considers the protection of personal information, and in terms of this act, the information is a name such as your name, your surname, your identity number, your contact number, your email address, your religion, your education, and any other information that is unique to an individual. So all such information will fall under what the Act defines as personal information. So that information would have to be redacted, meaning that it would be censored or obscured for legal and security purposes to give effect to the Act. So the information that is going to be pertained, because right now in this draft form, my colleague, Dr. Dembe, spoke and we mentioned that we have looked at it, but anything that would have to be added and included while designing it would have to keep the minimality. There's a Section 11 of the Act, of the POPI Act, speaks to the fact that only information which is relevant for the process, for the recruitment process in this aspect, that is the only information that can be required from any applicant or any nomination. So information would have to be relevant for the purpose and it cannot be excessive. So we have to be very careful in managing that and making sure that it complies with Section 11, because reputational damage to Parliament should it not comply with the POPI Act. The declaration at the end, which has been inserted, is to give effect to Section 20 of the Act. Section 20 of the Act speaks to direct authorization and consent by the applicant. So that declaration, putting it in place and making sure that the applicant gives consent to having the information publicized with those information which is redacted, meaning that it's not going to be publicized, that consent is essential in order for it to pass muster and for it to be applicable in terms of the POPI Act. I think that would be, in general, anything. Yeah, I think that's all. At this time, we would welcome any other further questions.
No, thank you, Ms. Pezzi, for the input. First, after listening to the two legal colleagues on the platform, is there anything, maybe, or clarity that we would like to seek from them? Thank you, Honorable Sengwa. Can the team on legal assist on the platform?
I'm so sorry, but there was a problem with the audio. Could you please just repeat the question?
Yes.
We were unable to hear.
Me too.
There's still a problem with your audio, member.
I'm not hearing anything.
Yes, unfortunately, Chairperson, we are unable to hear.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we can.
Thank you very much. My question is a clarity-seeking question on experience. I'm saying that the candidate do have not experience but have the relevant qualification, do we penalize that one who have not having experience because there is no work? All of us know that our children are sitting at home with their relevant qualification. Are we going to penalize somebody who is having not experience but have the relevant qualification? Thank you.
You may respond,
yes. Thank you, Chair. If I may come in, I like the question that, because that's exactly what I think the committee has to decide and look at whether without the in fact, even going further, taking the question even further to say, would you need someone for purposes of being considered as a fit and proper person, somebody with a degree, as an example, or just somebody who's got matric and has maybe the relevant experience and so forth. So it's not straightforward matter, but it's a question that the committee itself must decide as to when we say looking at a fit and proper person, exactly what are we envisaging? Having experience in terms of working with CGE and knowing what is expected of CGE, what criteria do we set? For it's not like it's an automatic answer that no, that person won't be qualified or must be disqualified. Those are the nitty-gritties that the committee itself, in a closed meeting, if I may say, look at and say, look, these are the things that we will be considering. Maybe as priority number one in their lead, their order of importance, especially for purposes of ensuring that the CGE mandate will be discharged. Thank you.
If I might just add on what Mr. Zweni has said, is that in terms of Section 3.1 of the Act, that the only requirement, education is not a requirement in terms of the Act. There is no specific recommendation or provision, rather, in the Act that says that such and such qualification is necessary for appointment. The only requirement and provision in terms of Section 3.1 is that the person must have a record of commitment to the promotion of gender equality, and the person must have applicable knowledge or experience. So in terms of that experience, it could be educational, it could be otherwise, but the only provision that speaks to it is that the person must have a commitment to promotion of gender equality, whereas formal education is not a requirement in terms of the Act. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Pezzi. Let me allow Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I may ask you, Ms. Pezzi, you see, according to CGE Act, education is not one of the requirements. But in terms of knowledge and participation in activities of a public participation in terms of whether a person belongs to one of the NGOs or is some issues, some of the people maybe they've been working with issues of like I'm making an example of people. Some people have been working with women organizations. That also is considered by the committee as part of experience and knowledge. And we are not relying only on qualifications, but you look at the track record of the person, whether this person have worked with communities in any other form, but for as long as, you know, when we publicize those CVs, communities, NPOs and NGOs will then make their own comments. And therefore, after that, the committee will check what comments have came through from communities. Because one thing that is a problem is when people write in their CVs things that they've never done, and those things are not verifiable. I think what we meant by knowledge experience, those are the things that we are considering. But we are not strict, quiet in terms of qualifications. It's logic that dealing with issues and the act and the responsibilities that they have in terms of being a Chapter 9 institution, I think some of the things will not make other people to be disqualifying. I just want to add on what are the most the committees to help other members. Previous term, I chaired the ad hoc committees. Two ad hoc committees were responsible for to fill in the vacancies in NCGE. So, and even if you can look at the commissioners that are there, some of them. It's not that all of them they've got degrees and so forth, because that will mean those people who doesn't have degrees or matric, they're being disadvantaged, because Tina will be looking at degrees just to help members. So I think fit and proper, what Mr. Zweni was saying, it's correct. And what I'm just adding to honorable members is that this is how we're going to look at persons who are fit and proper to be considered to serve as a commissioner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Can I also check
before I forget, I think as to be very skeptical about is what you presented, Ms. Pace, that it's true that our staff must be thorough when dealing with CVs, information on how they manage or how they handle information of individuals. That people must not find their CVs identities in terms of their, that is very much important, that those are the things that they need to remove. Before even they publicize the CVs, must be prepared to be screened, because there's no way that we'll consider an application. And an application, everyone is going to be screened. It will not be considered by the committee, because you know what other things that are being discovered later. So state security will screen everyone and then they'll give us a report. Besides that report, and we give individuals an opportunity to explain themselves on things that are there in the report, so that we don't just disqualify a person. An opportunity to clarify him or herself or this or them in terms of what will be the results from the screening of state security. And the other thing that I'm sure, I'm not sure because I was out a little bit, that we don't disqualify people because they're insolvent. And we don't disqualify them because if from our experience, we know that, whether they are in credit bureau or what, we don't disqualify people based on that. But we afford individuals to explain to the committee and on circumstances like that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I was checking, Chair may take over. Dromla, should I continue? Okay. All right, Neliswa, the next point on the agenda. Okay. Let me check on the virtual platform, Ms. Pezi and Ntate Kwezi. Zweni, are you going to comment or say anything for now from what the chairperson has mentioned?
No comment from my side, Chair. Thanks.
All right, and that is Zweni. Ms. Pezi?
Nothing further to add, ma'am. Thank you.
Members on the platform, on virtual platform?
Can you go to the next point? Members were deliberated and were put on the advert as a draft that was presented earlier to us.
Can we have a formal mover and a seconder of the draft so that it goes to the administration processes? I see the hand of Ms.
Thank you, Chair. Before we adopt, I would like us to go back to the advert that was there, because the point that is mentioned by the Chair of insolvent and whatsoever, I've seen something, but I didn't follow it correctly because I said I thought maybe it is captured. But when she is talking about it, if we could just go and see if maybe we are covering that point.
All right, Chair.
I think Honorable Masondo is trying to say you want us to put it in the advert. Wait. It says what? Kashifa, let me see it. No, it's fine. If it's in the application form, it's okay. That is meant for the individual just to tell us the personal information. And those are some of the things that we don't publicize. It's personal information. Like, for instance, if a person has said, I'm in the credit bureau, you can't publicize that information because it's a personal information of an individual. So you need to be sensitive in such information. So our staff will then look at all those things that are critical. Especially as Ms. Pez was saying, that you remove all those things. They can't go in public. Yeah. Thanks, Ms. Pez, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, members, on the inputs. I want to, at this point, we are at the point where there were additional
date in terms of meet up as the quality and the other issues that were raised from members here on physical, including the two legal got from the virtual. I think we're going as a draft advert. Can we have a mover in a second? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that we adopt the advert with amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masondo. Seconder? Honorable Sonia.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the adoption with amendments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mahau. Thank you.
Honorable members, I think we are done with the process for the field work vacancies. We have three committee reports. We need to adopt.
No problem.
Yes, we adopted.
With the agenda of today for the process.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Just, yeah, we also want to check if your members are happy with the application for an adopted.
Okay, can we check with the members whether you are okay with the application form that was also presented earlier, whether it can go as it is with the additions or amendments for the administration processes? Honorable Sonyan.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Now, we're happy with the application form as it was presented today. So we move for the adoption of the application form.
Let me check through you, Chair, with Mr. Zweni and Ms. Pezzi, if you have checked the application form, whether it's in line with the Act. So that we must not find ourselves in hot water.
I would suggest that let it be adopted with the necessary amendment, just like as we did with the advert.
Thank you, members, and thank you, honorable members. So it has been moved and seconded up the form. Yes, yeah. Thank you. Just moved by Honorable Sonyani and seconded by Honorable Sengwa.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Zweni and Ms. Pezzi for your attendance so that you are always there to give us good advices as you always do in your office. And going forward, we are expecting that you'll always be part of our meetings when we sit. Because Mr. Zweni, you do have our program. You know when are we sitting, when is our next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
I was just thinking.
It's the three reports, honorable members. If you remember, there was a petition that was submitted by Honorable Sharif in March of February. Yeah, the committee must adopt that report. The second report was a report that was presented by the CGE on EREC emergency response. And the third one is the oversight that we obtained in APA. Those are the three reports, members. I will check. Can I continue and check, please?
Honourable members, whilst we're waiting for the floating of the information on the screen, we have reports that were forwarded to all committee members. The three reports that we need to adopt today. So I want to believe members have seen the reports and have read them so that we go through them as they are floated and then. Yeah, those are the three reports. It will be the petition that we dealt with, I think, around March, February. Yeah, Uyinene petition, yeah. Uyinene, that one, and then the other two, but they will be flagged on the screen and then we can talk to them.
Jefferson, can I propose that we deal with this matter in our next meeting next week?
There's a proposal, members. Let's hear.
Good day, everybody. I'd like to support that proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mpitsi, with our thoughts. We will move on to the next thing. Thank you. Blessed Tuesday. It's supported. Yeah, it's moved and supported. So that brings us to the end of the business that of the day, comrades, colleagues, and honorable members on the platform. Thank you so much for the inputs from Tate Zweni and Mpitsi. And members on the virtual platform, also here physically in Parliament. Thank you very much. And I'll hand over to the chair to do the formal closing as the chairperson of this. committee. Mm-hmm. Honorable Ndaba, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair Bonnie, for coming in whilst I was not feeling okay. And you handled the meeting very well. Thank you very much for that support. And thank you very much to all our honorable members who made it physically to this meeting, and to the work that have been done by our staff members. I want to thank them for the good work that they've done. All our reports are in order. And we're looking forward, because you know it's not an easy job. This project, it's a very difficult project. All eyes will be on us, and we are depending on you as honorable members, on the reports that you produce for us. It's you that makes our work very easy, because if your work is not in that standard, it's going to be very difficult for us to achieve our goal and to finalize the project. But thank you very much for the time you spent. I know I don't make you sleep. I call you at night and say, not this one, wara, 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 wara. It's only that honorable members, they don't know. But thank you very much. God bless you. Have a very good weekend.
Thank you, Chair.
The meeting is adjourned.